思います。
There she is. Okay, looks like we're ready to go. We'll now hear case 20-2147, United States versus Benvey. Mr. Lee, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. Josh Lee for the appellant, James Benvey. In response to a question from the jury in this case, the district court instructed the jury that saying the words Border Patrol invokes the federal agency United States Border Patrol. And he instructed the jury that Border Patrol is synonymous with U.S. Border Patrol. This court should find that that supplemental instruction invaded the province of the jury. It's well settled that it's a jury's job to decide what weight to give to evidence, and also what conclusions to draw in terms of the elements of the offense from the basic facts of a case. That means in Mr. Benvey's case, it was the jury's job to decide what weight and significance to attach to the fact that he said Border Patrol in count two, as opposed to United States Border Patrol. And it was also the jury's job to decide the ultimate issue, whether Mr. Benvey's conduct constituted an impersonation of a federal agent. The supplemental instruction that the judge gave in response to the jury's question about whether saying Border Patrol and U.S. Border Patrol carry the same weight encroached on the jury's territory in a couple of ways. The first is that the judge effectively told the jury what weight to give the fact that Mr. Benvey used the words Border Patrol. And he effectively instructed the jury to treat what was an ambiguous fact as equivalent to a more prosecution-friendly fact. So the instruction resolved this factual ambiguity and said, give Border Patrol the same weight as if he'd said U.S. Border Patrol. And it encroached on the jury's ability to decide the ultimate issue, because if Border Patrol is just the same as saying U.S. Border Patrol, the instruction's basically saying the jury needs to ignore any doubts that it might have based on the fact that Mr. Benvey did not explicitly invoke the federal government, didn't explicitly.
Counsel, let me drill down here for a minute. So the instruction, not the answer to the question, but the instruction talked about the United States Border Patrol, right? That was the full terminology.
Right. That's instruction 11, that United States Border Patrol is an agency of the federal government. Right.
And the two statements about which the jury had a question, one of them was his statement about U.S. Border Patrol, and the other one was the more truncated Border Patrol. Do you take the position that the judge's answer to the note was improper insofar as it related to the U.S. Border Patrol, or do you concede that that's functionally equivalent to what was in the instruction already?
We certainly have not challenged that. We didn't object to it below. The U.S. Border Patrol refers to the federal agency. We didn't object to it below, and we haven't challenged it on appeal. And because we interpreted, my understanding of the jury's note was that they're not asking anything about U.S. Border Patrol. They understand that that's an invocation of the federal agency. What they're really concerned about is when he just says Border Patrol. And so it's resolving that ambiguity. We don't think that there was any ambiguity what he was referring to when he said U.S. Border Patrol. Okay. That's not ambiguous about what he references.
Was there any evidence in the record about Mr. Benvey or his group that he was with considering themselves to be like a Citizens Border Patrol or something like that?
Yes. Mr. Benvey specifically testified, we were acting as a civilian Border Patrol. We were like a civilian Border Patrol. He said that The U.S. Border Patrol was overwhelmed and we were volunteers. That was defense counsel's argument. These are volunteers helping out the federal government. Yes, I think that the jury may have been concerned about whether they are claiming to be a Border Patrol as opposed to the Border Patrol. But the jury may have been concerned about something else too. And that's that, it's not enough that Mr. Benby refer to a federal agency or refer to a federal employee. His acts had to have amounted to an impersonation of a federal employee. And in the situation where Mr. Benby was wearing normal, regular person clothes, not a U.S. Border Patrol uniform, that he's driving a normal car, not a car with U.S. Border Patrol decals or a siren. He didn't flash a badge or any other credentials to indicate that he was United States Border Patrol. The jury may well have thought, and I think did think, look, if you don't at least explicitly invoke the federal government and say United States Border Patrol, there's just not enough to say that what you did is an impersonation of a federal government employee, regardless of what he meant to refer to. The government's primary argument is they say, well, what the jury was asking is this: is there some talismanic significance to Mr. Benby using the full name of the federal agency? Or the other way that they put it is, the jury saying, can we convict? Is it permissible for us to convict if he doesn't use the full name of the federal agency? But number one, a judge cannot answer that question. And number two, this judge did not answer that question. So the judge cannot answer that question because a judge can't instruct the jury that the facts of the particular case are sufficient to sustain a conviction. And that's what the government says the jury was asking. Now, that's because if you look at the Supreme Court's Godden case that I cited in my brief, deciding whether the specific facts of the case meet a general legal standard is exclusively the province of the jury. The other thing is that if the jury is saying, well, you know, we have to decide whether it meets the standard, but is it permissible for us to do that? We never instruct a jury that they could convict. We don't ever instruct the jury that a rational jury could find that the elements are met. That's not their job and that's not their business. There's a reason that when defense counsel,
you don't quarrel with the fact that Mr. Benvey on the video approached a group yelling Alto, stop in Spanish, and U.S. Border Patrol. And that was clear evidence, correct?
On count one, Mr. Benvey says U.S. Border Patrol.
Okay.
This claim is about count two,
okay,
when he says something, you know, when he only says Border Patrol. And that's significant in our view, and I think significant to the jury, because the jury could think, we have to decide whether this is an impersonation of a federal employee. And if you say United States Border Patrol, that sounds a whole lot more like an impersonation of a federal employee, mm-hmm, than if you just say Border Patrol. Now going back to...
You're not challenging the conviction? Excuse me, Mr. Lee. You're not challenging the conviction on the first count then?
Yes.
You are?
No, I'm not. This claim is us.
Okay.
Are we having audio problems here? Sorry.
I think it's just my brain problems. I don't think it's an audio problem. But so what was he?
Okay. What I was going to say is,
he said, are you able to hear me now? Maybe there's a slight delay is causing the problem.
I am. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Was he sentenced concurrently on the two counts?
The second count increased his sentence under the sentencing guidelines grouping rules. So, but for the second conviction, the guidelines range would have been lower. So the second conviction,
the second count, that could have been an acquittal, and the judge could still use the second count for sentencing guidelines purposes, could it not?
Not under the grouping rules, because under the grouping rules, he gets extra points for a second conviction. So that's so the guideline range would have been different. And so it would have affected his sentence, but also an additional conviction is always inherently prejudicial. But that being said, it did impact the sentence.
You also said something earlier that regardless of what he meant, what the defendant meant, he may not have been impersonating the Border Patrol officer if he didn't say U.S. Border Patrol.
Right.
Why do you say that? Why the intent of the defendant is not dispositive there? If he thinks he's being a Border Patrol agent, you still have to have an objective view by the jury that objectively he was in fact impersonating, regardless of his.
I think that the statute has both a mens rea and an actus rea, and the jury could have said, you know, it's like if somebody dresses up in a Santa Claus costume and thinks that they're an FBI agent or intends to be an FBI agent and goes out and tells civilians to freeze, like maybe the person is intending to pretend to be an FBI agent, but it's not actually an impersonation, is the argument that there's an actus reus and a mens.
Are you conceding, is there any question in this case that he was intending?
There's definitely a question about that. Mr. Benby testified that I was like somebody outside of a stadium claiming, saying tickets, tickets, tickets. In other words, I can get you tickets. I'm not a ticket. And so he testifies that I'm out there saying Border Patrol, letting them know, you know, these migrants are looking for Border Patrol. They're wanting to turn themselves into Border Patrol. And he's saying, I'm not pretending to be a Border Patrol agent. I'm telling them I can connect you with Border Patrol. So, yes, there was a question about his intent. And there's a question of whether.
When he said the words Border Patrol, he intended to convey the federal agency called the U.S. Border Patrol. He did intend that.
He intended to reference Border Patrol. He testified to that.
When he used the term Border Patrol, he meant U.S. Border Patrol. There's no question about that, is there?
He testified to that. Yes, he testified that I meant to refer to U.S. Border Patrol. The problem, though, is the jury could say, number one, it sounds like more like you are trying to identify as a federal agent if you say United States Border Patrol. And also that there wasn't enough, given that there was no badge, no gun, no Border Patrol car. There's not enough to say you've actually made an impersonation of a federal agent if you don't explicitly invoke the United States. And unless the court has further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Wasn't he ordering them to do something when he said Border Patrol? In other words, he wasn't just saying, I'll show you where the Border Patrol is. He was telling them to stop and sit down.
So his testimony was that it was not that he was claiming authority to tell them to stop and sit down. But even if he was
he said, alto, alto, siente.
He said that this was a suggestion or a request and not an order. Now, then again, whether he's claiming to be able to order them to do something or not, there still has to be an impersonation of a federal agent. And he testified, you know, under the circumstances, there's no way that anybody could think that I was a federal agent. And I think under the facts of this case, that's right.
I think you'd have a better argument if he had said United Constitutional Patriots, siente. They would have looked at him and said, what?
All right, thank you. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Ms. Messick.
Morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. I'm Paige Messick for the United States. I'd like to begin by talking about why the government has a better reading of the jury's note and the court's response. And the truth is that lay people sometimes think that the law is a collection of generalities. Maybe it's not a federal crime to represent yourself as Border Patrol. Maybe you have to say the full name of the agency. And if you look at the jury's other instructions, this kind of confusion from their perspective would make sense. They've been instructed that the United States Border Patrol is a federal agency within the meaning of the law that Mr. Benvey is accused of violating. And they're thinking, well, wait, is Border Patrol also a federal agency within the meaning of the law that Mr. Benvey is accused of violating? Now,
and that's sort of the question, isn't it? I mean, because maybe to some people, the word Border Patrol means the Citizens Border Patrol that he purported to be part of. And to other people, the generic term Border Patrol means United States Border Patrol.
It may mean a civilian Border Patrol in the generic sense to some people, but Mr. Benvey's testimony is not that he was using it in that sense when he said it to the migrants. He said that he used Border Patrol because he knows that that is the one English phrase that a bunch of these non-English speaking migrants would know. And they know it, of course, because of the United States Border Patrol. So by his own testimony, he wants them to know, he can connect them to the United States Border Patrol. So when he's saying that, when he's shouting this command to the migrants, there's no, by his own testimony, he's not meaning to convey to them that he is a civilian Border Patrol guard. That's not his own testimony. Now,
his own testimony was also, I wasn't telling him I was Border Patrol at all. I was telling him I could get in touch. So I'm not sure that I can go all the way with you on that one.
Well, they clearly disbelieved him that he was just trying to point to some Border Patrol agents off screen, or that he was promising to connect them to Border Patrol. The jury obviously disbelieved that. But as for who Mr. Benvey is referring to when he is saying the words Border Patrol or U.S. Border Patrol, he's told them who he's referring to, and he's pointing to the United States Border Patrol. He's not meaning to, his whole defense is he's not meaning to identify himself at all, whether as a civilian Border Patrol personnel or as a member of the U.S. Border Patrol. He's not speaking about himself. He's talking about someone he could connect them to, like he could connect them to tickets in his understanding.
So let's play this out a little bit. So in a generic prosecution for impersonating a federal officer, would you agree with me that if I said, stop United States Border Patrol, that is far more suggestive of me impersonating an officer than if I just say, stop Border Patrol?
I wouldn't agree that it's far more suggestive. At most, it would be a little bit more, but in the context of this trial, not in a specific or not in a generic trial for impersonation, no one has drawn any distinction between the U.S. Border Patrol and Border Patrol. Not this Revenby, not the witnesses, not the prosecution, not the defense. And so in this case, there's no reason to think that the jury is asking about what weight they should place on these two different phrases.
See, I can't understand why they would ask at all if it was that easy.
Well, I think the fact that it's so easy to know, it's easy to tell in the context of trial that no one is drawing this distinction. And that, I think, makes it clear that the jury is not asking about a distinction in terms of what Mr. Benvey meant. I think where the confusion comes from them is that they have this jury instruction, right? They have a jury instruction about under the meaning of the law. And then they send a question about the definition of the law. And everybody who receives that question in the courtroom at the time seems to interpret it as a question about their prior jury instruction. The government immediately says, we need to let them know that this is also a federal agency within the meaning of the law. The court immediately asks his clerk to read the prior jury instruction about the federal agency status. And so to the people that were in the court, having just gone through this whole trial, it seemed clear at the time that the jury was asking a legal question about definitions.
So would you agree that Border Patrol could mean United States Border Patrol, but doesn't have to mean that?
I think if there were a case in which someone is using Border Patrol in a lowercase civilian way, then it could mean that. But I don't think in this case that's a plausible inference.
I mean, the problem here is if it's so obvious, if everybody, if the court and all the lawyers and the reporter and everybody immediately knew that they were talking about this definition in the instruction, and we talked about it interchangeably throughout the whole trial. And so there's no harm, no foul, because everybody knew, including the jurors, because of all the discussion about it, that Border Patrol and United States Border Patrol meant the same thing, there wouldn't have been a need for a question about it. It seems to me that the jury was concerned as a matter of fact whether saying Border Patrol sort of ipso facto meant that you had impersonated an officer.
I don't believe that that is what they are saying. And I think the explanation, you have to get into the head of a juror or a lay person and think about the kind of impressions they sometimes have about the law. And it seems to them, based on the instructions that they've been given, that this statute that Mr. Benvie's been accused of violating has a list of official agency names, and that you've got to say one of the things on the list, that there's some kind of loophole in the law. If you don't say the whole thing, maybe that doesn't quite count.
That's my point exactly. They're saying this term Border Patrol is a little confusing to us because it seems like from your instruction, he had to say U.S. Border Patrol. And so is Border Patrol good enough to convict Judge? And basically he wrote back and said yes.
But they're not asking
the answer.
They're not asking, is Border Patrol, what did Mr. Benvie say when he met Border Patrol? They're not asking that. They're not asking what Mr. Benvie said, what Mr. Benvie meant, whether Mr. Benvie was identifying himself as an agent of the U.S. Border Patrol when he used these words. I think they are asking, as a technical legal matter, does this count under the definitions you've just given us too? Not what did he mean when he said that, which would be.
Yeah, but I mean, why does it matter if it counts?
Well, because
it either does or it doesn't. They're either instructed that it counts, and then the jury gets to decide, yeah, it was enough. I mean, it seems to me that if he's instructing them as a legal matter that Border Patrol is the same thing as United States Border Patrol, that's signaling, look, the words Border Patrol was enough to convict, and that he's telling them that they can convict on that.
I don't think he's telling them that just because Mr. Benvie has said Border Patrol, you can find without more that the element of impersonation is met. I don't believe the judge's statement says that. Think about a case, say a conspiracy case maybe, where the jury hasn't gotten the instruction that often goes out in conspiracy cases that says the government doesn't have to prove that there was an express verbal agreement. Say that part wasn't included, right? And then the jury sends a question later asking about whether essentially there has to be that kind of thing. It would not be error for the judge to to add the instruction that could have been in there at the beginning, that a conspiracy does not require an express verbal agreement. It only requires a meeting of the minds. This is analogous to that. It's letting the jury know that some legal requirement that they are asking about that doesn't exist simply. But even if you think was that a question?
I have a question, because we're speculating a lot on what the jury must have thought in asking the question. That was the purpose of the last few questions. And it really is speculation. Is there any presumption we apply? Do we have to assume that this is something that the entire jury reasonably requests? Or, as I suspect is often the case, whether this is something raised by the one dissident juror who has some mistaken, frankly unreasonable view of the law and wants to get that resolved. How do we decide that? Or do we defer to the judge and say, if the judge thinks this is, I'm going to comfort one juror who's got a misapprehension of what's going on, so I'll say this? Or do we assume that there's something deeper going on within the entire jury? Are there any cases telling us how to decide that sort of thing?
I'm not aware of any cases that talk about assuming whether this is one lone juror asking kind of a nutty question, or do we think that the whole jury is grappling with this? I don't know how you could tell, but I do think that the judge is entitled to some deference in interpreting that jury's note, because the judge has sat through the whole trial that gives context to the jury's note. And that's a good reason why this, when preserved, is under an abuse of discretion standard, because the judge has a sense of what this actually means and what they've heard and what could possibly be giving rise to this confusion. So I think there is some deference due there. Now, even if you think that this question or this answer got too close to instructing the jury on a matter of fact, there's simply nothing in the court's answer that could have led the jury to convict on count two when it would not have otherwise. And as Mr. Benby himself argues, we have to look not just what some reasonable jury might have done in this case, but what this jury would have done. And this jury, we know, convicted him of count one. And the main difference between the two counts is, of course, the U.S. But those two letters were not a relevant factual difference to this jury because, as I've mentioned, no one drew that distinction in trial. Mr. Benby himself used the two terms interchangeably dozens of times. In fact, even the prosecutor and the defense sometimes mixed up during trial which time it was that Mr. Benby said U.S. Border Patrol and which time it was that he said Border Patrol. And no one ever objected to these misstatements because they simply didn't matter. And I'd like to point to one little illustrative example from the transcript, which is on page 216 of the third volume. And the prosecution here is cross-examining Mr. Benby.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Didn't Mr. Benby specifically say that when he was referring to the United States Border Patrol, when he said Border Patrol, didn't he testify to that?
Yes, he did.
So this is, it's more of a legal question than a factual issue, isn't it? When the jury comes back and wants to know if the terms are synonymous.
Yes, I absolutely believe that indicates that it was a legal issue they were talking about because it simply wasn't a question of fact in the trial. But I was saying that if you did believe that this was a factual question that shouldn't have been answered, it's still harmless because it just doesn't matter in the context of this trial. And in that exchange, I think this ties into what Judge Kelly just asked. In that exchange between the prosecutor and Mr. Benby, she said, but on April 15th and April 17th, when encountering the aliens, you did say United States Border Patrol, correct? And Benby answers, I did. And we actually know that that's not technically true. He never said United States Border Patrol in either case, but he didn't bother to correct the prosecutor because it was clear what he meant and it simply could not have mattered less. And so Mr. Benvey's argument on harmlessness is that the case was weak because he didn't flash a badge, he wasn't carrying a gun, etc. But on count one, where all of those things were also true, the jury convicted him anyway. For his argument to succeed, this U.S. would have to be the tipping point between those two counts, and there's simply no basis on this record to believe that that could be the case. I see that I'm out of time.
Yes. Mr. Lee, did Mr. Lee have any remaining time? I think he had a minute or so. Well, 39 seconds. Well, I'm going to give you a minute because I think you were interrupted at the end there. So go ahead. But you're muted, so your minute won't count much. Okay.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. The government's harmless error argument cannot account for two facts. First, the jury asked the question. The jury said, we are concerned about the fact that he only said Border Patrol. That means that the jury was concerned that this is a problem, that it was important to the jury in this case. The second is that the jury returned a verdict within 10 minutes of receiving the judge's erroneous instruction that it should treat saying Border Patrol as just the same as explicitly invoking the federal government. So the court should find that the judge invaded the province of the jury and that the government has not shown beyond a reasonable doubt, which is its burden, that that instruction made no difference. Thank you. I'd ask that you reverse and remand for a new trial on count two.
Thank you, counsel. Case submitted. Counselor excused. We'll turn to our last four cases, which are consolidated. See four, five. Okay, everybody's here, looks like.